Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, fancy Friday to all of you and yours. It's Almond in the Morning, and it's Common Sense Radio. And as always, at this time on Friday, our beloved Pastor Pat Rankin with Have Bible Will Travel, the official chaplain of the Almond in the Morning show. And it's always a great time to kind of step back a little bit and see what's up with God. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. How you doing today, Jamie? What a great day it is.
Yes, it is, my friend. And I have to tell you, it's always great with all of the strife and all the things going on and just everybody kind of a little on edge about everything. It is true that God will not abandon us, and that we know.
That's correct. Yeah, that's what he calls us as Christians are overcomers, and he who overcomes the world with him are called Christians, and that's what God has called us to do is remain in and be a faithful witness and know that with him all things are possible.
No doubt. And Sunday, with the third Sunday in Lent, and everybody's going really fast, what we call one of the greatest hits of the Bible, the Gospel of John, and Jesus at the temple. And it's just as a setup here real quickly, people, when they talked about the selling of doves, at that particular juncture at the temple, people were buying these doves for alms. Is that correct?
Yeah, they were buying them as sacrifices, and that's what you would instead of carrying them, they bought them there at the temple, and Jesus was upset about that, and the money changers were actually making money off of selling these animals to people so they could sacrifice. So it was a whole debacle, and that's not why God set up the church is for that kind of nonsense.
Well, and Jesus made a whip. I mean, he was serious.
Yeah, he's very serious about his kingdom and his church and how reverent we should be. And Jamie, I think I've been telling my congregation in the month of March, I can't ever remember, if you include Good Friday, the whole month, you end up with six resurrection messages out of it. And it's the most anointed month I can ever remember before Easter, and one of the earliest Easters ever.
Yeah.
Other than I think back in the 1800s. So there's a lot going on real quick, just like you said, and it's all for his kingdom and his glory. And you get to participate as a Christian, and it's one of the great marvels of the Bible, one of the great stories.
And I'm wondering about, it's interesting, the placement of this in the Bible and also the timing of it and everything else. So was this the only time that Jesus ever showed any, I'm not quite sure what I would call it, because I wouldn't call it anger, but maybe it is, but this was obviously very indicative of an emotion, which generally you didn't see in many of the readings regarding a real outward emotion.
Yeah, that, you're right, Jamie. We're as Christians, we're not to be led by our emotions anymore. We'll be called to be led by the Spirit of God. So obviously that's something that he thought through, and obviously, Jesus wasn't easily angered, and he did it because he had righteous anger. I mean, it's something he thought about. He figured out how to way to take care of the business, and that's what he did. You know, let's be honest, in the end, when he comes back on a white horse, you know, he's not coming in like he did on the donkey. Yeah. He's coming back on a war horse, and he's making war. It's kind of like you said earlier, you know, there's times in life when you have to draw the line, and Jesus is drawing the line. He said, you know, all those who are going to trust in me will reside with me forever. And those who don't, it's going to be a bad deal.
Yeah. And obviously this was also a progression of the heaviness with which he approached his representation of God. And this is where he started really to push a lot of the buttons that ended up getting him killed. This is an example of that. This was a fairly big step in the beginning of the end, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And I've been telling my congregation, you know, if you read any of the prophecy, whether you're reading it out of Isaiah or any, all the prophets talk about Jesus and him to come, whether it's in Psalms and everything. And, you know, he starts out, we view him as a lamb, but in the end, he comes as a lion. I mean, he's roaring like a lion. And, you know, he's coming to lay the law down. And, you know, evil can't continue on. So he's got to do something about it. And he's the only one who can do anything about it, you know. And in this week, I'm speaking about Jesus being out in the desert being tempted, and you know, the audacity of the enemy comes to him and says, I'll give you all of this, you know, that you're looking at, all this creation. Well, here's the deal. Somebody that has been created cannot give you creation. Only the Creator can do that, and that's God Almighty.
Yeah. And also wonderful regarding his act at the temple. You know, there were many people who were upset with that money changing. And so it was beautiful that Jesus did that with the knowledge that he was not going to have immediate punishment for it as somebody else would. Like if some normal person went in there and upended the table, they'd have killed him.
Yeah, we talked about that. I was talking to my staff about that, how he could you know, restrain when it was time to restrain. And that's why God doesn't give us that kind of power, because if you got cut off in traffic, you know, that would be a bad thing, you know. So
right.
Jesus is the only one who could show that kind of restraint with that kind of power. That's for sure.
Right, exactly. And real quickly, since you mentioned the donkey and the horse, I know we'll probably end up talking about this after Palm Sunday, but it is really hugely significant, that riding of the donkey. It sent a message, a couple of messages. The Romans were kind of like, oh, okay, well, that's good. And then, but yet the Jews were like, hey, wait a minute. Is he really going to help us out here? Because he's riding in on a donkey, not a horse. Is he really truly going to be the guys fighting for us? It was really a bizarre moment and had different indications to different groups.
Yeah, and actually that's the theme really through all the Gospels. You know, Jesus shows a lot of restraint. It wasn't time for that to happen. The donkey represents a beast of peace, and a horse represents a beast of war. And actually, if you look on a donkey, all donkeys have the symbol of the cross on their back.
They do?
Yes.
Wow.
They sure do.
Huh.
Yeah, right across the back. Yep, there's a cross on all donkeys.
Wow. Well, I'm laughing because so how does it manifest itself? Where is it? What is it? Hair or?
Yes. Yeah. There's a black, you know, cross that goes one way and then the other way. And it's a difference in the color of their hair. Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people that don't know that. And obviously we know that's something that, that the Lord has provided as affirmation that this is the beast that he was to ride in on, and be remembered when he went and got, his disciples went and got the donkey. No one's ever rode it before.
Wow.
And, I don't know about you. I don't want to be the first one to get on an animal that hasn't been broke.
Right.
Jesus broke him just with his words.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And interesting. So Lee, and enough it seems, Pastor Pat, that some of the Pharisees, some of the rabbis actually used that against him, that he rode it on donkeys. I think, didn't some of them like tell some of the Jewish people, see, he's not gonna help you out. He's riding on a donkey.
Yeah, when they were saying hallelujah, hallelujah, save us, save us, save us, you know, they told Jesus, hey, tell your people to shut up. And he says, hey, if I tell them to shut up, the rocks will cry out for me. So somebody's going to worship the Lord, and that's the mandate on society. So they were coming against Jesus at every turn, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. It really gets to be a very, very this part of the season. There's a lot of heaviness and gravitas, and also beauty to the whole thing, because it's just incredible, really.
I say when you take your natural and mix it with God's supernatural, you get a supernatural explosion. It's just wonderful. It is intense, and it is, and it's very thick. And I think everybody feels it, and it's the most wonderful time of the year for Christians. It's it's a message of being an overcomer, like I said, you know, and that's what it tells us in 1 John 5:4-5.
Yeah.
That we're overcomers.
Right. Exactly. I love that. So tell me about Bible study, buddy. Cause I'm really interested in what you guys do and all the avenues you have for people for Bible study and Have Bible Will Travel.
Yeah, so we have as many Bible studies as we ever had. As a matter of fact, my wife and some of her friends are kicking off a new girls study tonight here at our Westport campus, and it's called The Beauty Shop, and it's kind of a spinoff of the men's group called The Garage. And then we also have a Man Up Bible study Thursday night out there in Moscow. We have our Sunday schools, and then we have Tuesday nights and home Bible studies. We just have Bible studies, I think, almost every night of the week, just about.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, church service on Saturday and Sunday. So there's a lot going on here, not only in the kingdom of God, but here at Have Bible Will Travel.
Right on, man. I love it. And I can't say enough. I talk about this all the time, but I never get tired of it, is the Facebook posts. And the other day I saw one with you, and you were out in the I guess you were out at the farm, I think. It looked like you were kind of out at the farm.
Probably, yeah. I'm either out there at the farm, either working or riding horses with my friends and doing ministry work out there. That's my passion, is to ride horses or ride motorcycles, you know. And that's how God created me. And it's a wonderful display of God's goodness when you get on the back of a horse. There's nothing better than that.
Gonna call you the High Plains Pastor.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
You need that. Sure. You need that whistling Oscar De La Renta music behind you, brother.
Yeah. I use that every once in a while at church, and then people kind of look at me. So,
I like that, man. You ought to use that. High Plains Pastor. Hi, High Plains Pastor Pat here out in the farm. Yeah, I love that.
Man,
that's great. Well, you know, thank you so much for your support of the show. I really appreciate you. You're just a true gift to us. And Tammy is on the Facebook page, and she says HBWT is the best church family ever. And that's true. Well, it's a family.
God, Yeah, it is. It's for sure a family, no doubt. We're, you know, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. It's far different than politics. You know?
Yeah,
everyone's level at the foot of the cross. Nobody's better than another. We all need a savior. His name is Jesus. So that's the message we're trying to spread everywhere.
It certainly is an inspiring time when you are at a service and Have Bible Will Travel. And plenty of options for you, Moscow Mills, Westport, as well as Florissant. So all kinds of avenues. Just go to hbwt.org and also follow the Facebook page so you can see exactly what we're talking about with the High Plains Pastor and all of his, he does his interviews and
that's a new one.
Everything else and with people. And I like it when you get together with some of your associates and let her rip. And so it's good, buddy. I appreciate you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you too, Jamie, and your audience. They're just beautiful people. We love what you're doing, and can't thank you enough. So we pray that you have a great day. You have a great day in the Lord.
And you too, my friend. I appreciate you very much. This is Pastor Pat Rankin with Have Bible Will Travel. Check it out on the web. It's hbwt.org, and it's really cool.